Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, I want to reflect on the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, give him my honest feelings, and lay out what this means for me and you moving forward. With that said, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome to the At the Table podcast. And this week, again, is going to be just different than what we've done in past episodes. This one is going to be just some honest takes and reflections from this week's recent memorial service for Charlie Kirk. And it was just striking. There's several reflections that stick out to me that I'll talk about a little bit each one. Then I'm going to play a clip from Erica Kirk and her memorial speech that quite honestly left me floored. I'm not surprised, but yet to be able to see her respond in grace, with grace, and just really speak to what the gospel is all about was really powerful. So let's get started and we'll get jumping right in. The first thing that really struck out to me, and I wasn't surprised, but it was the clear presentation of the gospel early on. Frank Turek gave a very clear, bold proclamation of the gospel. And what was so powerful about that is that followed up 3 hours of worship. And I got to see some of that. We were out of town traveling, but on our way back, we caught the tail end of the worship and then the whole entirety of the service itself. And I just was blown away. But Frank Turek gave a clear presentation, gave people a chance to respond to the gospel. And that, my friends, is what it's all about. You know, as I think about this, of reports this week, that it was reported that by Turning Point USA that 100 plus million people streamed the event in various ways. 100 million people worldwide streamed this event. So if you think about that alone, the gospel was clearly presented in a mass form, giving people an opportunity to respond. And that is just mind-blowing, right? That is an amazing takeaway. The second thing that was very evident to me, and this is not a political statement, this is not a political persuasion of any sense, but we had some of the top-ranking members, including the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, the secretary of war, director of security, the House ranking member of Congress, and we had many of them had a chance to speak. And they could have said a lot of things. And they did say a lot of things. In fact, a little bit winding of a turn, President Trump was his normal self. But I don't want to focus on any individual thing that they said other than this. Person after person after person was trying to speak the gospel. Now, they didn't get everything right. None of them are perfect. And that's kind of the point. The gospel was presented over and over and over again by high-ranking members of this current administration. And you can say whatever you want about them as people, as individuals, but in this moment, they were speaking the gospel. Why is that so powerful? Well, again, 100 plus million people, plus close to 100,000 people between the two stadiums were witness to this proclamation. Think about that. Government was proclaiming the gospel. And it's a profound, profound statement to see that happen. Absolutely, 100% blown away. The gospel was presented over and over and over. And my friends, when the gospel is presented, lives are changed. And you heard even individual stories of high-ranking government officials and many others that got to speak of how Charlie Kirk changed their life. But ultimately, what it came down to was that bold proclamation of the gospel. They had the opportunity to talk about anything they wanted, and they chose to talk about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus was shared more times worldwide in that several hours service than perhaps many people had ever heard the gospel. In fact, you know, proclaiming the gospel, speaking about God in public places, J.D. Vance, the current vice president, said this. He's probably spoken the name of Jesus and shared his faith more openly in the last 2 weeks than he had previously. He was challenged. He was moved. Now, my prayer that this continues in his life. This is something that is a turning point for him that draws him closer to Jesus. See, in these moments, it's not about political parties. It's not about politics. It's about the changing message, the message that changes people's lives, and that's the message of the gospel. And then we got to the point of service where Charlie's widow had the opportunity to share. 30 minutes she shared so many heart-wrenching, powerful stories of her Charlie, as she called him. The love that was in her voice and the loss that she was experiencing physically in that moment was strongly, strongly conveyed. But then she got to a point where she was sharing about Turning Point USA, Charlie's vision, why he did what he did, and specifically in response to the young man who's accused of being his assassin. And I want to play a clip of this for you. It's a couple minutes long. Do me the favor of listening. Listen to this in this moment. Listen to this at this time period. Listen to this clip as we think about what might be happening in this moment.
He named his organization well. He knew things were not right with America, and especially with young people, and they needed a new direction. Charlie passionately wanted to reach and save the lost boys of the West. The young men who feel like they have no direction, no purpose, no faith, and no reason to live. The men wasting their lives on distractions, and the men consumed with resentment, anger, and hate. Charlie wanted to help them. He wanted them to have a home with Turning Point USA. And when he went onto campus, he was looking to show them a better path and a better life that was right there for the taking. He wanted to show them that. My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Young man. On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That young man, I forgive him. I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love, and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us. The world needs Turning Point USA. It needs a group that will point young people away from the path of misery and sin. It needs something that will lead people away from hell in this world and in the next. It needs young people pointed in the direction of truth and beauty.
Wow. Wow. I'm not sure that I pray that I would have the same response, but man, what a testimony. In a moment where she could have condemned, where she could have called out, where she could have gone all, any number of ways, she chose the path of forgiveness, responding to the hate and love. And the ironic part is exactly what she said, that Charlie's mission was to reach young men like that. And you know, my prayer in all of this is that that young man would come to know the gospel, would come to know Jesus as his personal Savior, and would someday be in heaven as well. But friends, that doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences. We know that. There will be a trial and all of that, and justice on this earth may be administered. But ultimately, her response on that day of forgiveness is amazing. So this just leaves me to, you know, if we just talk about these things, what does that mean, or what does it mean to me? And so I just wanted to share some couple things that I am going to try to do, because it left me asking, what is my response? Well, number one, my response is boldness. Boldness. Being willing and looking for opportunities to be the hands and feet, the love of Jesus, to be his messengers, to be his ambassadors, as we're called in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It means more of the gospel. It means more of pointing people to God's word, to the goodness of Jesus Christ, and to live in such a way that draws them. And this isn't new to me, but I'm praying for more boldness in that area as well. Something tangible that struck out to me is this. It is, everybody has social media, that has social media, knows that you end up spending more time there than you really want to. And we spend more of our life there than we realize or should. And so my challenge to myself is, I'm going to strive to read the Bible more than I'm in social media. I'm going to strive to read the Bible more than I'm in social media. At least more than I am now, with the goal of being more than social media. Such a simple thing, but yet so profound. Time with Jesus. The second thing that I'm going to do and commit to is being more versed in American history, and specifically Christianity in American history, and how it came to be, and be more educated and be ready to give a concrete good example. The book that I've started reading is A History of Christianity in the United States and Canada, the second edition by Mark Knoll. I'm going to read that. I'm going to add it to my repertoire. I'm going to digest that. I'm going to help it help me understand how we've got to where we're at more. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to read more history. I'm going to read more books of people that help me connect with young people today. I firmly believe that there is so much need and desire for this connection today, to be engaged, to be drawn to Christianity. And I'm going to do my part moving forward. Well, I want to leave you with this couple verses here, and these are the same verses, several of them are the same verses that I shared on the day after. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13, and Paul is writing this to the church in Corinth, and he tells them, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men and women of courage, be strong. and do everything in love. Do everything in love. The other verses I have to share with you are from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and these verses are actually the theme verses behind the Toolbox, the men's ministry, who has a vision to share the gospel and love people, especially young men. And these verses are our charge. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Catch that? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others." Pay it forward. Pay it forward. Men, women, pay it forward. Take an interest in young people's life. Invest in them. Be the gospel to them. Reach them. Be motivated to be bold, to read your Bible more, to understand the culture better, to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ more. So what I want to do now is close in prayer and then a brief question for you as you consider what it is for you moving forward. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this incredible reminder of living a bold and faithful life for you. God, I pray that as we move forward in the days and weeks, the months to come, that we don't forget the energy that we feel in these moments, remembering the bold life of Charlie Kirk. But God, his mission was number one, to make you known, to make you known. And number two was to do everything he could to keep number one happening. So God, let that be our mission as well. God, make us bold, make us strong, make us courageous. Let us draw from your power and be faithful and obedient in sharing the gospel and investing in other people's lives. God, don't let this moment fade. Help keep us all connected. God, equip me to read your word more often, to study history and to be a mentor and invest in other people's lives. And God, I encourage everyone that hears this, God, that you would motivate them as well to take the step that you have asked them to take. But God, we thank you for the mercy and the grace that only comes through Jesus. And I pray that we keep fighting the good fight, being bold for the sake of the gospel until all have heard. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope this message has equipped and encouraged you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And my question for you is today, what are you going to do in response to this challenge? Be bold for the sake of the gospel, friends. Until next time, everybody, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.